Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, survivors, followers, and all of our general public that are tuning in to tonight's TBI One Love podcast, which, as you know, covers 50 states and 32 countries, spreading our positive form of hope, inspiration, and education for those that have been touched by a brain injury, along with awareness and prevention for the general public. Well, for tonight's show, to kick off our June segment, we have such an amazing guest, which I know you all will enjoy, and especially gain some key elements that will help us think, be, and live more positively successful. Who I'm speaking of is Lauren Taylor from St. Louis. As you've seen on our forms of social media, she recently joined our inspirational TBI One Love Survivor family. Lauren grew up in the horse industry and had a passion that is a very successful career. But unfortunately, 2 years ago on May 12th in 2019, her life changed forever when she was at the Aiken Horse Show. Something spooked a horse, causing him to wheel around and kick out, striking her directly in the side of the head, which resulted with a brain injury. She's going to spread more information about herself, her journey, but also give some great elements of inspiration for all of us tuning in, brain injury or not. So without further ado, let's get this show started. Lauren, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lauren, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and calling in.
Thank you for having me, James.
You heard me give a brief introduction about yourself, but could you please tell us some more about you?
Sure. So, like you said, I'm Lauren Taylor. I'm currently 21 years old, and when I was only 19, I sustained a severe traumatic brain injury. I'm from about an hour outside of the city of St. Louis, Missouri, where I live on a 14-acre horse property. I was working as a horse pro when I obtained my TBI on May 12, 2019. I was at a horse show in Aiken, South Carolina at the time because the family who I was working for competes their horses in Wellington, Florida during the winter time and then travels along the East Coast in the summertime. The family had been competing in Aiken for 2 weeks. Just so all of our listeners know, horse shows are usually Wednesday through Sunday. So it was Sunday of the second week I was there, which was the last day that I was supposed to be in Aiken. So I took one of my boss's horses out to hand graze. I've been told that the horse spooked at something, spun, and kicked me in the head with his hind hooves. I fell to the ground, and I stopped breathing, and my heart stopped beating. As fate would have it, a cardiothoracic surgeon, so a heart surgeon, who keeps his horses with the family that I was working for, happened to be standing right there, and so did a neurosurgeon friend of his, who I don't even think rides horses. The two of them got my heart beating and revived me. I'm told that they tubed me at the horse show. Now, I don't know what in the world I did to deserve the second chance at life that I have been given, but I'm not about to question it. I don't know what the doctors exactly did, but how crazy neat and miraculous of a story is that?
Wow, that is unbelievable. And not only I'm glad you're still here, which I'm sure everyone is that knows you, but also, there are no coincidences. It's unfortunate that that happened, but it was supposed to happen at that same place and time because of who was around you able to assist you immediately, and I'm sure you inspired them and everyone they know as well.
That's very sweet.
It's just the truth. You know, there are no coincidences like I just mentioned. But, you know, speaking of growing up in the horse industry, I'm sure that as much time as you spent around horses, you never imagined this would ever happen to you.
No way. I never in a million years would have thought that I'd be someone who would end up with a brain injury. I had, of course, heard of brain injuries before, but I never once considered that I could possibly have one. Now, that being said, I always understood the dangers of being on and around horses. I always rode in a helmet 100% of the time, and I also rode with as many safety precautions as possible. So, in the horses and in school, I was always a bit of an overachiever. I kind of liked it that way. Just to give you a better idea of what I mean, in elementary school, I used to get pulled out of class once a week for the Horizons program, which was intended to be a motivating and challenging environment for gifted students. I learned to get comfortable and confident there with being one of the smart ones in my class. And then in fourth grade, I beat out all of my peers in a math competition, and I went on to represent my school. Fast forward to middle school, I was so advanced in every class that my math asked my mom if she would consider me skipping seventh grade. After much research and discussion, that's exactly what I did. And then in eighth grade, I was captain of my middle school's Scholar Bowl team. I used to be known as a complete nerd all the way through high school, and then my first year of college online, I got straight A's. I suppose I used to be under the impression that I was too nerdy to have a brain injury. Boy, was I wrong. Moral of the story, brain injuries can happen to anyone.
Exactly, and that's very important that everyone understands, not only those listening to tonight's show, but also everyone in the general public, because not only, like you stated, no one ever thinks that a brain injury is going to happen because we don't know that much about it. But the moral of that story is a very important fact. Brain injuries can happen to absolutely anyone of all ages at any time and literally anywhere.
Of course. And they can hit you so unexpectedly too. And a full recovery is not really possible. I want to be really good at pretty much everything that I ever attempt. That's just who I am. If you're going to do something, I figure do it right, you know? So for the longest time, I was upset that my injury was not one that I could completely heal from, such as a broken arm or leg. But I have learned to appreciate that I am able to get some sort of recovery. I've never even had to deal with a broken arm nor a broken leg before. My skull was actually the first thing that I think I ever broke. I also broke my nose when I had my TBI, so I still have to get that fixed. It's been really difficult for me to grapple with the reality that a full recovery is not possible.
Yes, and that's very important because people need, again, to understand not only all information about any form of a brain injury, but also how it is a lifelong journey and no brain injuries are the same. They can be the same area of the brain, but that still doesn't make them similar because they're all different. They have a different form of recovery, a different impact on the individual's life, but also everyone that knows that individual, because brain injuries affect everyone, not just the survivor. Speaking of, you know, obviously your passion and of course your inspiration that you're sharing and how all brain injuries are different, do you remember the accident at all?
You know what? I don't, thank goodness. When I was first realizing that I was hurt, I wished that I would have remembered it. But after further thought, I'm glad that I don't. I think it was probably a bit of a fluke. If this didn't make me dislike horses, I don't know that anything will ever be able to make that happen.
You know, that's one thing I wanted to ask you. When you talked about horses just a second ago, has it affected your love for horses at all?
No, I'm still a horse crazy girl at heart.
Well, that's good. I think your word choice just now is interesting. You said that you had to realize that you were hurt. Can you elaborate a little on that?
Yeah, so when I woke up, I was more confused than I had ever imagined was possible. Because my brain was severely injured, I didn't remember the accident. I could have sworn the year was 2017. Everyone kept saying that it was 2019. After hearing that it was 2019 a few different times by a few different people, I came to the only plausible conclusion that I could think of, and that was that I was in a really long dream that was set 2 years in the future. Now, pre-accident, I always used to dream when I slept. After the accident, I was in a coma for quite a while. Once emerged, I wasn't having dreams when I slept, probably because my brain was busy healing itself. But at the time, I took this to mean that this was because I was in the dream. I proceeded to repetitively beg my poor mom to wake me up. Every time I would ask her, she would tell me that I was awake. It was infuriating. It can feel absolutely impossible to accept an injury that you don't even remember having.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been so scared, so confused, so out of sorts before.
I know, yeah, it's very, very different. And of course, there is a period of time where we're not even aware of our injury. We have to be reminded of it because to us, it's not anything different to an extent, but we do have to be reminded because it is an everyday journey.
Yeah, I mean, and my poor mom had to keep reminding me over and over and over and again. And I'd be like, just wake me up, I'm fine.
Yes, I've had a lot of survivors, including myself, say that same exact thing where they've had their mom, dad, or siblings have to keep reminding them that they do have a brain injury, even though it might feel normal, it's still a life-changing event.
Absolutely.
I know that the GCS, or Glasgow Coma Scale, determines the severity of brain injuries. All brain injuries are GCS 3 to 15. Just for our listeners, on the Glasgow Coma Scale, mild TBIs are rated 13 to 15, moderate TBIs are 9 to 12, and severe traumatic brain injuries are 3 to 8. Do you remember what GCS number you were assigned?
Yeah, so I was a 3, which is the most severe form of traumatic brain injury. And that, coupled with the fact that the pupils in my eyes were dilated and not reactive to light, gave me a very grim prognosis. Some studies even pegged that combination of a GCS of 3 and fixed and dilated pupils as having a 100% mortality rate. I'm here today to say that is not the case.
Mm-hmm. Very true. As miraculous as this is, I'm sure you've had some hardship along the way. I had a TBI and recovery isn't easy. Are there any particular struggles that you can remember and identify?
I vividly recall being in the hospital and I was feeling a little bit helpless. I was wondering if recovery was ever going to be successful. And so I asked one of my doctors if I was ever going to walk again. My mom was in the room at the time, so she jumped in and was like, of course, sweetie, of course you're going to walk again. and the doctor just kind of put his head down and didn't say a word. Now, my mom is not a doctor nor a therapist. I wasn't looking for an answer from my cheerleader. I was looking for an answer from my well-educated doctor who had countless brain-injured patients. That was probably the most concrete experience that I can identify. There have, of course, been numerous times where I was so frustrated and ready to give up on life. And honestly, I think that is normal. I know that sort of thing isn't talked about much because talking about suicidal thoughts is so stigmatized by society. I want to make sure that other TBI survivors know that they are not alone in feeling that way. If you are feeling that way, talk to someone. In addition to talking to someone, not instead of, but in addition to, I found that it's incredibly therapeutic to journal, either in a notebook or on your phone. Now, I had to deal with hemiparesis on my right side from the injury, which was horrible because I was right-handed before the injury, so handwriting was kind of out of the question. My hand is too numb to this day to appropriately grip a pen. My left side was and is definitely still affected, both in terms of coordination and strength, but my right side is definitely significantly more affected. It took me over 6 months before I could sit upright on my own in bed. I used my left hand to type journal entries on the Notes app of my iPhone. It helped me to process my new life. Therefore, to TBI survivors, I will say this. It's going to be a miserably long road, and it's going to take a lot of hard work. But if there is a connection between your brain and your arms or your brain and your legs, no matter how minimal that connection is, you can probably get more. Keep going. It takes a lot of grit, but you can do it.
Amen. You've got to keep on reminding yourself that you can do it because recovery is definitely a long and miserable road.
Absolutely. But, okay, that being said, hindsight is 2020. In retrospect, I'm glad that I was as miserable as I was for as long as I was. I used that misery to motivate me. Now, I despise my brain injury and the turmoil that it has created in my life. It uprooted everything I knew. Everything that I worked so hard for. It eliminated my ability to walk, to project my voice and speaking with any kind of authority, to ride horses like I used to be able to eat and drink things even without worrying about choking. Mm-hmm. In short, I was not satisfied with the life that my TBI left me with. And so that became my motivation to make a huge recovery. Now, that being said, had I been comfortable with and accepting of that life, I can confidently say that I would not have made such a significant recovery. Most of my doctors along the way tried to get me comfortable with potentially not attaining much more, if any more, of a recovery. And honestly, that scared me quite a lot. I was never satisfied with a mediocre recovery. For anyone who knew me pre-injury, I don't know that there would have been too much of a shock there. I have always expected a lot from myself.
You know, that's very inspiring and it's a very interesting way to look at it, which everyone needs to do. It's almost like you had to be in a bad place in order to be as motivated as you were to recover significantly.
Exactly. And as I shared with you a minute ago, I have been journaling a bit about my experiences. And the best way that I could verbalize my experience is by saying that I use my misery as a catalyst to push me into a more independent and productive future. I think it's human nature to see someone suffering and immediately try to eliminate that suffering. If I would have been content never walking again, my brain injury was bad enough that my doctors would have been fine with me living in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. But because I've never given up on my recovery, and because God hasn't stopped blessing me, I am still improving all of the time.
TBIs can adversely affect people in both their habits and personalities. Do you notice a big difference in yours?
You know, I think that I'm still basically the same. Everyone says that a lack of self-awareness is a big component of brain injuries, so I certainly would hope that isn't the case. I used to be able to rely upon my short-term memory way more than I can now. It has gotten much better through extensive cognitive therapy. I've utilized therapy and learning to implement memory compensation techniques, such as setting reminders on my phone to remember to do things that I wouldn't otherwise remember. Memory comp techniques save me.
Wow, that's amazing. And like you had mentioned just previously, God hasn't stopped blessing you and is continuing to move you forward, inspiring others that get the opportunity to meet you.
Yes, sir. He's been so good to me.
Yes, ma'am, always. TBI recovery is ongoing for anyone that sustains a brain injury, no matter if it's a concussion, severe, like even if it's a small knock on the head. You just had the 2-year anniversary of your accident, and I'm curious, which therapies are you still in?
Well, my days used to be filled with therapy, physical, occupational, speech, recreational, and neuropsychological, just to name a few. Now, I only have vision therapy once per week, and my mom helps me so that I can do equine therapy at home. I also do DASA workouts 3 times a week, which works on both strength training and balance improvement. DASA, D-A-S-A, stands for Disabled Athlete Sports Association. At DASA, I work out for an hour with a personal trainer and not a physical therapist. I love that people who work out there are referred to as disabled athletes, not as patients.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Do you have any additional advice for TBI survivors?
Oh, yeah. Your recovery is going to be long. It's going to be a test of resilience. So you're going to have to dig deep and stay focused on your recovery. My mom and little brother have been so incredible to me, and they both stressed the importance of therapies and of rest since the beginning. That laser focus and always improving has definitely rubbed off on me. To fellow survivors, I would advise working as hard as you possibly can in therapy, and then take time to rest when your body and mind need it too. Rest is just as important as any therapy in your recovery. Also, stay motivated, because recovery is lifelong, as you said before, James, and it can happen many years after your injury.
Very true. That's something that all people need to make sure to understand, both survivors and caregivers, that any form of recovery, it's not that it's going to be completed early. You have to be patient, take time, and do what's best for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have quite a bit of insight on TBI recovery and the inspirational message that you share with others about brain injuries occurring to anyone at any time and anywhere. Is there anything else you would like to add?
First of all, thank you. In my experience, I have found that insurance companies love to put this 1 or 2 year cap on recovery, stating that wherever you are in your recovery at the 2 year mark post-injury is probably as far as you will recover.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not true. Even though I was past 2 years post-injury at the time, the first time that I went a full day without my walker was on May 21st of this year. Additionally, if you have minimal connection between your brain and your body, chances are that you'll be able to get more. One last thing that I'd like to mention is that society loves to say that TBI survivors are getting strong and making progress, and I think that those two phrases allude to the very false notion that a complete or 100% recovery is possible. And honestly, that is insulting. Look, all of my doctors and therapists will say that I work my butt off. If TBI recovery was a question of work ethic, I don't think that I would have had a problem in attaining the whole thing. Whenever people try to insinuate that a full recovery is possible, I get extremely aggravated. But I know their intentions are good, of course. I'm not going to lie. Recovery has been absolutely torturous at times, as it has taken a lot of grit and persistence, but some degree of one is still happening.
Amen. It does take time, but like you said, we've got to keep motivating ourselves and, of course, have faith that God is going to continue to improve us and not stop blessing us, because what we tell ourselves determines our attitude and how we're willing to move forward.
Absolutely. A good attitude is so important.
It is. Well, Lauren, I want to thank you not only for joining the TBI One Love national and international family, but also taking time out of your busy schedule to share hope and inspiration for those that have been affected by a brain injury, and also sharing your brain injury advocacy with us tonight. It means more than you know.
Thank you, James, for giving me the opportunity to share my story.
Not a problem. Thank you. I hope that we will be able to keep in touch, continue educating others, the impact of a brain injury, but also the power of a positive mind to help us and, of course, our family / caregivers move forward instead of sitting still during our long journey of recovery. I want to thank you once again, Lauren, for taking time out and giving us a call and being a big part of our family. Before I end the show, do you have any questions for me?
No, sir. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. And I hope you have a great night, Lauren.
You too. Bye, James.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye. Wow, everyone. That was a great show. And Lauren really gave us not only inspiration of how brain injuries can be addressed with great advice, self-motivation, but also sharing her story and how her life changed in literally a second. To continue learning more about our brain injury survival support group and the inspiration survivor and caregiver family that is covering 14 different countries and is continuing to grow, please visit tbionelove.org. Make sure to follow us and hit the like button on all of our forms of social media, and we will continue to educate you on brain injury information, guidance during recovery, refer you as much as we can, and of course, add you to our family to help paint the world green. Thank you guys for helping us continue to grow, and let's make sure to enjoy Lauren's continuing inspiration that she spreads every day. One love.